the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. Say, watched.
Watched.
They watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. Now, I love this whole chapter, but for what I believe God had shown me this past few days, that I want to stop there. And first of all, what we need to look at, here's a man who had dropsy. Now, how many know that that has to do with fluid, water buildup, okay? And this man was in deep trouble. How many have ever had swollen legs or whatever, and they got to give you some medication or whatever to keep that down? I'm one of them. I've been almost a leg did. Well, you get that water, that fluid, and if it's not taken care of, it's going to affect your whole body, and you could die. Amen? So that's what this dropsy was. And here are these men, these women, if you will, they were looking to Jesus. They were watching him. Okay? And here was a man who needed a healing. He needed some help. But it was the Sabbath. And how many know on the Sabbath you're not supposed to work, right? He knew their thoughts. He was walking by. He saw it, and it got his attention. This man got his attention, and because of this taking place, he wanted to move. He wanted to do something for him. Now, how many of you have saw people outside? And the other day I saw a man in front of a church. And you can tell he was homeless. And he just laid on the ground in the parking lot and put his head up on the curb. Now, mind you, I could have stopped. Amen. But I thought, well, I'll leave Brother Malone for that one. Because maybe he knows it. You know what I'm saying? But I could have stopped, and I didn't do it. Of course, I also promised my wife I'd pick her up at a certain time. So. But we sometimes make excuses when we see people who are in need.
Come on, Pastor.
And we walk the other way.
That's right.
And here it was, the Sabbath. And knowing their hearts, now we shouldn't work on the Sabbath. But he began to speak, hello, because he knew their hearts. And he wanted to do something for this man. So what he did is when he healed him. But you got to be careful of the religious folk. You got to be careful of the legalistic folk.
Yeah.
You got to be careful of those that think they know everything. Amen.
Yeah.
And don't care for the one that's down and out.
Yeah.
You see, I believe God wants to minister to some people.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's got to minister to the folk in the church before he's able to minister to those that are on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you will, we are the body of Christ, and we are the ones who are supposed to carry out the work that God's called us to carry out.
Right.
Are you getting this morning?
Amen.
Well, I had a dream, and in this dream I saw this young lady, and she had come to me needing some help. And because I knew of some folk, I went to that folk, if you will. I went to the, actually she needed a job. She was desperate a job. And she comes to me, she said, Pastor, if you will, this is what I saw in my dream. I need a job to be able to take care of myself, to be able to, you see, this gal wanted to work, but she had a reputation of being on drugs. She had a reputation of being in jail. She had a reputation, even though she was a young person, she had a reputation of not being able to carry out those daily needs, if you will. So I went to the owner of the store, and he had other employees, and I asked if he would consider this person. He looked the other way. He said, no, she's not qualified. I said, what do you mean she's not qualified? I was almost begging him to give her a job. In fact, I said, if she don't cut it out, I will take care of some of those things that you were questioning about. Are you getting this morning? You see, he had the means to be able to give this person a job. And I was saying, hey, I'll for this woman. I'll vouch because I could see that she had a heart to work. She had a heart to get right. But because that he wouldn't do this, even though he had the means, she wasn't going to get what she had need of.
Yes.
You see, in a lot of people, this is what's happening. We turn the other way and do not help that person that has a need.
Yes.
In my spirit, I was grieved. I was weeping in the spirit. And I knew that was the Holy Spirit that was working through me to get me to a place to help those that are in need. Are you hearing me this morning? God is looking for his body to fulfill the needs of other people.
Yes.
It's interesting because you think about even, and Sister Trowbridge brought this out the other day, you think about the body of Christ, and it's like the paralytic man who they had to bring down through the rooftop. I don't remember that story.
Yeah.
Amen. And four men came with him. And because of the crowd, they couldn't get through that. But because of their persistence, they went up onto the roof. They dug a hole, if you will, in this roof. I don't know whose house it was, but they probably had to repair it after it was done.
Yeah,
are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And they brought him down. Amen. They were his legs.
Yeah.
They were his arms. Amen. It was a paralytic man. He could only move his neck, if you will. Amen. He could only speak, if you will. And some others came along beside him and took care of the need. And he said, oh, great faith.
Yes.
Pick up your bed and walk. You know, pick up your bed and go. Amen. And they questioned him.
Yeah.
Who has the power to do this? Let me show you something.
Yeah.
You think that's great? I have the power to forgive your sins. Not only that, but take up your bed and walk. I will make you whole.
Yeah.
You see, there's a whole lot of people on the outside that need some healing in their life just to remain whole so they get back to work.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a little bit of pride now. I can go to work and do those things that I know that God wants me to do. But I haven't got anybody. I haven't got anybody that's got some arms that will pick me up and say, here, we can do this. Let me show you Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except for you. You see, God's looking for his church.
There
will be his arms. There will be his hands. There will be his feet.
Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, Pastor. Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Glory be to my God. Yeah. Woo! Glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
But we got to take care of our indifferences inside the church.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, Jesus.
God forgive us. God forgive us.
Amen. Yep.
God has given us so many good things.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
They were starting to question him even before he was ready to heal the man.
Yeah.
What's he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If God says, I'm getting ready to change your direction,
yeah,
I'm going to get down and pray and say, God, where do you want me to go?
Uh-huh.
What do you want me to do?
Yes.
Show me the direction.
Yeah.
I'll try to be obedient in all my power. Amen. Because you'll give me the power to carry out what you want me to carry
That's
out.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
See, if you will, the paralytic man, Jesus said, I may be the head, but will you be my arms?
Yes.
Will you be my hands?
Yeah.
Will you be my feet?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
We're not a dead church.
No.
We should be a living organism, able to go wherever Jesus says to go.
That's right.
And do whatever Jesus says to do.
Yes.
Lift him up.
Woo-hoo.
Lift him up.
Yeah.
Before you come into the service, Lord, what do you want me to do? Worship me.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
That's right.
Worship me.
Yeah.
How do you want me to worship, Lord? Do I give you praise? No, I want you to go out and feed the hungry.
Yes, amen.
Feed them.
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
Let them know that I love them. Let them know that I care. Let them know that I'm coming back.
Yes, amen.
God gave us that commission. Or God gave me that commission 25 years ago. I said, well, Lord, they know. No, they don't. don't. Will you be my hands? Will you be my mouthpiece? Come on. Will you be my legs? Will you go to the hurting? Will you go? I like to be sent. Don't want to be went, but I want to be sent. Amen. God is sending us out. Look, you don't have to look beyond Rio Del. You don't have to look beyond Fortuna. You don't need to look beyond Eureka. God, send me into the mission field. Send me to Africa. Why? When you got a whole mission field right in your own neighborhood that you're not reaching. But is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And they kept silent, and they took him and healed him and let him go. Amen. And which of you having a donkey? Oh, man, I'm telling you what. It's not a donkey that I can see now that he's talking about. Huh? Amen. He's trying to get down to earth. You got your own animal here. You're going to tell me you're going to let him die there? Are you not going to take care of your baby? Are you not going to take care of your child when they fall? They scrape, get scraped up, they break an ankle, they break their wrist. Are you not going to take care of them? And they could not answer him regarding these things. You got to pull them up. Today I'll do it. Tomorrow I won't. The next day I might. Today I will, because I'm in church and I'm hearing what the preacher is saying.
Yeah.
And I will do it. In fact, this afternoon, God, you bring somebody in front of me, I'm going to take care of them.
Really?
Yeah. And we'll all testify tonight, if you come back tonight, what God did when I walked through the doors. Mm-hmm. Amen. Sister Cox was talking a little bit last night. Sorry if I sit between you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. My wife's watching, so we're okay. You see, I am worried. I'm concerned. I should say worried, because that would be sin, right?
Yeah.
But I'm concerned about your grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about your kids. There was discussion the other night. It's Chris Jacobson. He was Mike Jacobson. And you remember, he used to be a superintendent. There was concern, Brother Sampson, that we don't have any ministers from the age of 21 to 40 years old. And the average age of the minister in the Pentecostal Church of God right now, coming into the Pentecostal Church of God, is 55 years old. I'm concerned that our old hymns aren't reaching our youth. That some of the new songs that's coming out might not be able to reach Alexi. Might not be able to reach Isaac. Billy Graham said this. When asked about the new music that was coming out, he said this: remember the old hymns? They were new at one time too. That comes from the 96 or 97 year old Billy Graham. Amen. You see, we might have to go a different direction at times. You see, Brother Jerry, I want to be able to mentor some men. I want to mentor some young men. I want Sister Daisy to mentor some young women. I want to be able to reach them where they're at. Because if we don't make more ministers, if we don't mentor them, we're going to lose out a generation. And we've already done it. So, well, yeah, but it hasn't happened. Yes, it has happened. We have lost a generation. That's why Brother Samson, he goes to Teen Challenge. That's why Brother Samson goes up to the Mount of Mercy. Why? Because there just might be one of them that's going to get it. And when they get it, they're going to be messengers for God.
That's right.
That doesn't mean they have to be behind the pulpit. What it means is that they're living a change in their life, a transformation that's not only transforming them, but it's going to transform their families. And if it transforms a family, it just might transform a neighborhood. Now that's just the preachers. No, it's not. Because our society is changing. And what do you want your society to change?
Yeah, come on, Pastor.
See, if you have changed people, you'll have a changed society.
Yeah.
And that's what Sister Cox said last night. So I'm concerned. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's concerned.
Yes.
This is what the Holy Spirit dropped into my spirit. And I wept and I wept and I wept and I woke up weeping.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the Lord forgives.
Yes.
How many times we walk by because we're afraid that I might spend a little bit more time with someone that we don't care to really associate with.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen.
I've worked with men and women and good part of our ministry, some dealing with Teen Challenge, some other programs, doesn't matter, amen. And you're going to have some that it's just going to take so much time to clean them up. In fact, I was working with a man, when Sister Daisy and I, before we got married, but we started dating. How many know for Sister Daisy and I the first date, that was it. You know what I do, amen. First date, asked her to marry me. You see, when God speaks, and you know it's God, you start going into that direction.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You see, I want to go in the direction that God wants me to go, and I want to speak what God wants me to speak to you, because if you don't get this, this is a matter of life and death.
Right.
Not only for you, but for your family.
That's right.
Not only for you and your family, but your neighborhood. Not only for you and your family, your neighborhood, but for your church.
Yeah, that's right.
And you are the church.
Yeah.
And some folk, how many know some folk you just don't want to be associated with? Some folk that the Lord puts on your heart, He wants you to work with, and you just don't send somebody else.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
Send somebody else. They screw up every time. Bing, 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 bing. And I'm speaking to myself. Let's just get rid of it. I know what I'll pull myself away. But I don't want to pull myself away. I believe that everyone in here, I want to do what's right. Hello? We want to do what's right. We'd be crazy if we did not think that we want to do what is right. But the problem is most of us, we don't have our own strength, hello, in ourselves to put it all together, to make it right. That's why we need the Savior. He asked us to do something, amen, and we recognize, I cannot do it in myself. So I must consider that His scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We sing about it, but do we apply it? Do we allow the Word of God, amen, to transform us? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must renew our mind to be able to carry out what Jesus wants us to carry out. And let me tell you this morning that you cannot do it in yourself. You must be on your knees to be able to get some of the glory that God wants you to get, to be able to carry out what He wants you to carry out. You cannot carry out the mission in yourself. You must have the Holy Ghost. Sister Trowbridge talked about this couple, and they were having babies in the hospital. She was having twins, and one came out and was fine, and they put that twin on her. Well, the other one died. The other one died. And Brother Samson would like this. I really believe that. You like it all, praise God. But they said, what about the other one? Both died. Bring me the other baby. Here, take this baby, put it back in the nurses. Bring me the other baby. No, you just really don't want us to do that. Bring me my other baby. So they brought the baby in, and that mother and dad began to pray, God, may the light come back into my baby. All of a sudden, hello, come on.
Yeah.
The color started to change. Said one more, God, bring life back into this baby.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something today. I think in some of our families, we need to come and say, God, bring some life back into my family. God, bring some life back into my dreams. God, bring some life into the vision that you called.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody give him some praise. Somebody give him some glory. Oh, but don't do that in church. Somebody might get delivered. God, bring the life back into your church. But somebody might get offended. Somebody might not like the fact that you spit when you preach. Well, if you get offended by that, my goodness, you missed the whole message. I'm after your teens.
Yes.
I'm after your teens. When they sit in church, what do they hear?
Yeah.
Where is their mind? Hello. Are they thinking about, no, it's going to be great when I get out of here. I want them to have something that they will remember when Jesus is knocking on their door and all hell comes against them. They can say, Jesus, but I can't do it myself. Dad's mom mad at me. Mom's mad at me. Hey. Jesus, I'm coming to you.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Back in 2007, some of you may have heard this, but brother, sister Daisy and I went on a mission trip with the youth. We took three of them from work. Three of them were touched. Three of them knew they were called into the field. What happened? Is it the cares of life that choked the word that came forth? Hello? Mm-hmm. On the way back, I was driving the van, Sister Daisy and I both, because of what we saw down there in Mexico. I believe God was calling us there. I said, Lord, whatever. I said, all I want to do, Lord, is be what you need to be in the latter part of my life. Lord, whatever is going to be the best for you, we want to be. So we thought he was taking us down there. But you know, Brother Terry, what he said to me? He said to us? He said, I want you to come back. And I want you to meet your pastors, teachers, evangelists. Hello?
Amen.
Now, I've seen some of this. I've seen some of this, but I believe it's a greater. I believe it's greater than what I saw. I believe it's greater. I believe that we're coming into something much, much bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that Sister Trowbridge said was this, that we limit God. The body of Christ has been limiting God, and it's time to get rid of those limits.
Amen.
Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Where are you at this morning?
Amen.
Huh? Amen. You know, I would like nothing greater to have one of my teens come up and say, Pastor, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me?
Yes.
God's been calling me. I'm not doing what I need to be doing, but I want to get there. Help me to get there. And I'm going to bend over backwards to help them to get where they need to be. What about your kids? What about your grandkids? Amen? I don't want to lose any. I'm tired of losing.
Yes.
Amen? But one thing that I've decided, I will continue to preach this word. Continue to believe for it. And when discouragement comes in, like you tried to this morning, what do you want me to do, Lord? Worship me.
Yes.
Here I am, Lord.
Yes, amen.
If this is what it's going to take, praise God, I'm going to worship you. Just give me praise. Here I am, Lord, I'm going to give you praise. Amen. Amen. Best thing for discouragement is praise.
Amen.
Best thing for discouragement is praise. And watch out, because
yes.
God's going to minister to you.
Amen.
He will. He can't help it. You seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
We need to apply what we're learning. If the body of Christ, if church in America will apply the messages that God has brought through his prophets, brought through his pastors, brought through his preachers, if the body of Christ will apply that, let me tell you, this America would be changed.
Yeah.
It will be changed for the glory of God.
Yes.
Where are you at this today? Sister Daisy, would you come to the piano? I know Sister June and Brother Dean, they have a Crescent City. What a wonderful church they got up there, amen? Beautiful church. You see, when the Lord started talking to me about changing this and changing our environment, changing the church and things like that, he said, what do you see? So I'm walking through the building. Wow, this is nice. Lord, this is nice. Brother Jerry, this is what the Lord said, think bigger. Think bigger.
Oh, yes.
So I went down and saw Brother Malone's, what he's working on, the project he's working on. And I walked in and I thought, whoa, this thing must seat 600, 800 people. Wow, I can show you pictures. I took some.
Amen.
I believe that we're coming to the time, hopefully this next year, that we're going to start seeing thousands come into the body of Christ.
Amen.
And will we be ready for that? Well, as we see the persecution that's come upon the land,
yes,
amen.
Yes.
It's finally here, amen.
Yes.
You say, well, it has affected my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Really? Nor do we want it to, amen. And we get by. Sometimes we smile through it, other times we get angry when no one else is looking, and we throw boards or we do different things that. Because no one else has seen, but I've always known this, there's still someone who's watching.
That's right.
What are you doing with your anger? What are you doing with your lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life? Amen? What are you doing with that when no one else is looking? Hey? Come on now. I'm not trying to be religious now. It's still about relationship. I had one young man the other day say, well, Pastor, you know, how do I deal with this? I said, it's still about the relationship. No matter how many times you have failed, it's still about the relationship. You mean I need to pray? Yeah, exactly. I said, there's times that I end up doing things that I shouldn't be doing, and I know I shouldn't be doing, and I'm still praying. Why is it? Because I love the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, and I do not take what he did on that cross for granted. What he did for me on that cross is beyond anything anyone could ever do for me.
Yes.
And he's still changing me.
Yes.
Lord, you need to change me to take me in another direction.
Oh.
Lord. Are you changing me to go to that other direction? Many times when God asked me to do something, I already talked to him. I said, Lord, you know I can't do it. You're going to have to change me. Because my heart is hardened towards it.
Yes. Yes.
I just tell him about it. I said, Lord, I'm pretty sure this is you, but I don't feel like it. Brother Samson, I don't want to do all the work that comes with it. I know it's going to cost me something. I know it may cost me some friends. I know it might get ugly. I know you might be asking me to say something, and they're not going to like it. Well, then he takes you to Ezekiel, Brother Samson. He'll take you to Ezekiel chapter 3, and he said, I'm going to make your head, your forehead, strong as adamant stone. Glory to God.
Yes.
You better be getting into that.
Yes.
Because we're coming into that time. Yes. We're already there.
Yes.
And how are you going to be able to lead him if you're not doing it yourself? Amen?
Yeah.
How are you going to be able to? Oh, man. This precious one right here. Amen. What a time to be born into this world. He doesn't know anything about the fact that there wasn't internet years ago. He's heard about it. Huh? The Andy Griffith Show, what's that? Huh? We could even go out a little bit farther. Football, what's that? That could come into that time, you know. Why is that? Because we're not playing football. We're just trying to get our lives saved from the war that we're in. Where football stops. Where basketball stops. We're just trying to protect our family. Father.